Sorry, I am recovering. I did have the cold last weekend. Well, we've had the cold for a while, yes. Anyway, we've been looking at Abram. And while Keith refused to call him Abram and called him Abraham the whole way through, Tally last week tried to rectify the situation, but he did let slip a couple of times. I don't know whether anyone noticed. Did you notice, Billy? Yes, there was a few Abrahams in there. That was the support key. Oh, very, very good. Well, I'm sure I'll let Abraham slip in. Abraham, of course, he wasn't born Abraham. He was born Abram, and later God changed his name. So I'll try to stick to Abram, but I'm sure I'll fail too. We've seen over the last few weeks how that God called him. Keith was speaking about how God called him to leave his country, leave his family, leave everything behind and go to a land that God would show him. And it just must have been, you know, his mates must have thought he was bonkers. Can you imagine him going down? I don't know whether they had the local in those days, going down the local, saying, guys, this will be my last time with you because I'm going away. So where are you going, Abram? Oh, I don't know. Well, why are you going? Oh, because God called me. And who's God? Well, you can't really see him or touch him or hear him, but he called me anyway and told me to leave everything. His mates must have thought he was bonkers. But Abram believed. And that's really the crux of this whole series. Is while belief in God and the unseen appears to be bonkers, we are never disappointed. Those who trust in him are never disappointed. And Abram's no exception to that. So we saw last week how his cousin went with him, Lot, and they took all their stuff, and Tally was showing that they had so much stuff that they had to split up. And Abram let Lot choose where to go, and Lot chose the very best land and left Abram the hill country, basically. So we're going to leave Abram in the hills today, and we're going to look more at Lot. But Tally was saying that, you know, there he is, up in the hills, letting his nephew take the best land, and yet he still chooses to believe what God says. He still, even though he's getting old, him and his wife can't have kids, and he's just taken the worst part of the land, he still chooses to believe what God says, because God says he's going to have the whole land, and God says he's going to have so many descendants, good word, Jimmy. I'll use that. So many descendants that you couldn't count them. Abram believed that in the midst of the exact opposite. It really is unbelievable. Well, tonight we're going to leave Abram in the hills for the time being, and we're going to see a wee bit through the eyes of Lot, because things didn't go just as Lot had intended. And you see that all the time. Was that just this morning you were talking about that, Tally? About how yes, it was, how things don't turn out as they planned. That's right. Seems like a long time ago. Because what happened to Lot was he had chosen all this fertile ground, but it was popular places. And the area that Lot chose became subject to another king, King Kedorlaomer, or something along those lines. Lot would have had to be paying taxes to this king. And it became such a problem that all the locals decided they would... It went on for 12 years or so, and the locals decided, we're going to rebel. We're going to take back our land, and it's going to be ours. So all the local kings got together, and they staged a rebellion. The only problem was the rebellion fell flat on its face. And instead of just becoming subject to this foreign king, he enslaved them. And Lot went along with him. He took all their possessions, took all their women and children, and he took Lot and all his possessions, and Lot became enslaved. And so life had gone rather downhill for Lot. He lost everything, and he had become enslaved. Now, we're maybe used to seeing things like this in films, like that wee clip that we saw. If you watched that film, you knew the whole way through that he was going to be rescued eventually. You knew it wasn't going to be one of those films that just ends badly. There's a few films like that about. But most films, you know, they end happy. But everyone here knows that life isn't like that. Real life doesn't always have the fairy tale ending. And Lot would have known that. And I imagine, it doesn't tell us anything in the account. By the way, this is all from Genesis chapter 14. You're going to have to read it all. I'm only going to read a couple of verses later on. You're going to have to read it when you go home. The Bible doesn't tell us how Lot felt or what was going on in Lot's mind at this time. But I'm just reading between the lines and imagining he felt pretty gutted. He'd gone with his uncle Abram. He had left him. They had departed and gone their own ways. And life had gone downhill. He's now enslaved and lost everything. And pretty tough. And I don't imagine Lot really had it much hope. Because it wasn't in those days that you could take your king to court and say, you know, this is unlawful. There was none of that. Whatever the king said went. Whatever king won the battle, his word went. And this king won the battle, and his word said, Lot, you're imprisoned or you're enslaved. I don't imagine Lot had a lot of hope. If he had any hope, he certainly, all those that were enslaved with him would have said, you're mad to have any hope. He certainly have no indication he had any hope. And very often life turns out that way. We find ourselves in situations where we just don't have any hope of it ever improving. We don't have any hope of it coming to an end. And we almost can get to the point where we say, well, this is just how it's going to be. But then we have, of course, the good news. Abram comes to hear of what's happened up in the hills. Here's the news, and he goes about and he raises an army for himself. Now, this isn't one of these. It's not like we're not. Don't imagine World War II here with the millions coming out of the trenches. You know, he had a few hundred men gathered together to go to battle against this other king, who maybe had 1,000. You know, it's not huge numbers. But he raises an army, and it tells you how he did it in chapter 14 briefly. He defeats this foreign king. And he takes back all the possessions, all the women. He rescues his nephew Lot. And I just wanted to pick out from that story how that with God there is always hope. It doesn't say that Lot ever even prayed to God. It doesn't say that he asked for salvation or asked for deliverance. But God delivered him through Abram, through his uncle Abram. But I want to come to the most fascinating part of the story, because the most fascinating part is still to come. I'm just going to read it here. It happens in verse 18. Because Abraham is just delivered. He's just defeated this king, and they're all just coming back to where they came from, bringing all the possessions back, bringing all the women and children and the people who've been carried off, bringing them all back. And this other king comes out to meet him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. So far, very briefly, we've seen how sometimes in life we'd be mad ever to think that we'll have freedom. Mad to ever think we will not be enslaved to one thing or another. But with God, there is always hope. And hope comes through this strange king that comes out to meet Abram, Melchizedek. Because what Abram did, was Abram came to this strange king, and I keep calling him strange because the Bible calls him strange. Well, it doesn't use the word strange, but if we read all about him in Hebrews, and it says that no one really knew who he was. He didn't appear to have any parents and descendants or ancestors, and no one really knew anything about him. So in one respect, he was a strange king stroke priest. And yet Abram comes to him and gives him 10% of everything. I would argue that this is possibly the most significant couple of verses in the story of Abram. Certainly in this chapter, this is so significant. And I'll tell you why. Because this strange priest stroke king that no one really knows anything about is a picture of Jesus. The Bible tells us that. You need to go home and read Hebrews. And you'll probably actually need to read Hebrews about 10 times before you start to get much of an understanding of why. But he represents Jesus. And I was thinking, Taddy was mentioning last week how all the big religions recognize Abraham. And they call him Abraham, whereas I'm calling him Abram. they claim Abraham to be their own. But I thought this is so significant because Abram himself doesn't claim to be him, to be, you know, his own person. But he's coming to give this offering of himself to this strange king, this strange priest. But what it signifies is that Abraham, although he will know nothing about Jesus, hasn't heard of Jesus because Jesus hasn't come yet. Yet in this significant offering to Melchizedek, he is presenting an offering to Jesus. And it is so significant because the Muslims can claim that Abraham was their prophet. The Jews can recognize Abraham for who he is. But if you ask Abraham, Abraham will say, well, when I was Abram, I gave an offering to Melchizedek, which is signifying Jesus. And so as Christians, well, I'm not going to claim Abraham for myself. But you can see that Abraham was pointing towards Jesus and towards the salvation that would come through Jesus. Abram brings his offering of thanks to Jesus. And you see, when you think about Lot and his situation, he was delivered. He was saved. He was set free from the slavery that he found himself in. And he could just come and go, Uncle Abes, thank you very much. But the thing that I learned from this story, the thing that speaks to me is no matter how deliverance comes to me in my life, I should give my thanks to Jesus. You know, I think about it. Do you ever have, it comes to me with a toothache. I get toothache, and for me it's like the worst pain in the world. If I read of all these people who, you know, get burned at the stake, and they'll not deny Jesus. I think if someone hurts my tooth enough, I'll probably, you know, I fear that that's how I'm going to deny Jesus, is someone giving me such a bad toothache. And, you know, sort of is my nightmare. And you pray, Lord, will you deliver me from this pain? And you go to the dentist and you take his antibiotics and you're delivered from the pain. And do I always remember to thank Jesus for delivering me from the pain? Well, my mate down the, my mate who I'm talking to will say to me, no, but it was the painkillers. And Lot could have said, no, it was Abram. But it wasn't. Deliverance always comes through Jesus. Let me tell you, if it wasn't for Jesus, there would be no deliverance from our enemies. If it wasn't for the work of Jesus, our enemies would run riot in our lives. I don't think we give Jesus enough credit for the deliverance that he brings in our life. It doesn't matter whether we're believers or unbelievers. God says his blessings come out. His blessing comes down like the rain. It comes on everybody. And so I believe that every time anyone is delivered from anything, the thanks should go to Jesus. Because it is Jesus that defeated our enemies on the cross. And it is through Jesus that every deliverance comes. Whether like Abram you've heard of Jesus or not. And Abram hadn't heard of Jesus. But he knew somehow or other that this strange priest king who came to bless him was worthy of the 10% thanksgiving that Abram gave him. We're going to finish, because we don't like to speak too long on Sunday evenings, especially a warm evening like this. I know the eyes can easily start going on a warm evening like this. We're going to finish, but what we're going to do is, as we have been doing over the past few weeks, we're going to stand to sing some more. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us in our own time, in our own minds, to bring our offerings of thanksgiving to Jesus. Because we have been delivered from so much in our lives. We've been saved, first and foremost, from our sins. Our sins have been forgiven. And we can come to freely bring our thanksgiving to God. But we have been delivered from so, so much. On a day-to-day basis, we are delivered by God. And we have got so much thanks to bring to Him. So maybe during this time, we will give some of our thanksgiving to Jesus, that strange king priest who comes out with the bread and wine. I just think it's a lovely picture. Even the fact that he brings out the bread and wine to meet Abram. You know, what a picture of Jesus coming to offer himself to us for our salvation. His body broken and his blood shed. But not only are we coming to give our thanksgiving this evening, we might also want to bring our petitions for freedom to him. We might want to bring some requests for ourselves. Or we might want to bring our request on behalf of our nephew, somebody like Lot. Somebody that we know who is enslaved in one way or another. We might want to bring our petitions to that strange priest king, Jesus, who comes out to meet us this evening. So we're going to have a time of praise. And we can give our thanksgiving and our petitions however we want as we stand to sing. But if anyone would like to receive prayer tonight, just have a seat and put up your hand. And I will organize a couple of people to come and pray for you. If you prefer more privacy, we can, you know, you can go down in the back or even go into the wee room here. That will probably be a wee bit awkward with this words going on. We'll go out the room at the back. Sorry, I thought the kids were in there, but they're not. Go out the wee room at the back if you'd like to go out there for prayer. Let me know. So let's pray before we stand to sing. Lord, we just want to thank you in a very simple story. Lord, we see some profound truths. Lord, we see that we can be delivered in so many different ways. But Lord, at the end of the day, it all comes down to our offering to this strange priest king, Melchizedek. Lord, a picture of Jesus coming to us offering himself. And Lord, we want to give you our thanks. Lord, we live in so much freedom. We have been delivered not just in our generation, but in the generations that are past from so many enemies, physical and spiritual. Lord, we want to bring our thanksgiving to you, that you're a God who saves. And Lord, we want to continue to petition you, because there's so many ways that we and people that we know are still enslaved and need your salvation. And Lord, we want to bring them to you, knowing and learning from this picture that you come out to meet us. You come out to deliver us and to save us. So Lord, while we are maybe tired at the end of the day, Lord, I just pray that for the next 15, 20 minutes, Lord, that you would keep us alert, keep our minds focused, that we could praise you, thanking you, and petition you for your glory. Amen.